And Dragon is now less than 7 meters away from the International Space Station as it continues to
station.
You know what happened
earlier? That launch is all about accelerating the vehicle's orbital velocity.
And it will be continuing
to orbit the Earth, handing over
it made it to the International Space Station. It docked, and 4 astronauts crawled into the International Space Station. And at least 2 of the ones that were already there were like, just get me on that rocket and get me out of here. You've all heard about it. It's the rescue mission to bring those 2 astronauts back that were lost in space. They're stuck in space anyhow. I watched the encounter. It's out there. You can find it maybe on this particular video we're showing. But when they came through the tunnel, the 4 that were on the SpaceX rocket, those that have been up in space for all this time, there were smile and joy and hugs and just a whole lot of elation and happiness. But guess what? The mission is not accomplished. The mission is only halfway done, isn't it? They still got to bring them back, don't they? And as much joy and as much happiness as there is in seeing the astronauts that are going to bring those people back arrive, they still have to get back. And I don't know about you, but watching the last few weeks of SpaceX and a couple of those rockets went up and exploded, you just have a little bit of hesitancy and a knowledge to know that that could be a problem maybe. You probably shouldn't count your chickens before the eggs have hatched, so to speak. Listen again to this passage. At that hour, Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here. Herod wants to kill you." I just think it's really odd, and this isn't really part of the message, but it's the Pharisees that came to Jesus and said, "You better get out of here because Herod is going to kill you." But Jesus responds to them and says, "You go and tell that fox." Now, I want to tell you something about that word fox. You and I think probably about a fox as being a clever, sly type of an animal, and that's the way we see it. In the day of Jesus, the word fox and the reference to fox meant insignificant. So really what Jesus is saying here, the Pharisees come and say, "Herod wants to kill you. You need to get out of here." And Jesus says, "You tell that insignificant person," right? "You tell that nobody that I'm casting out demons and I'm performing healings and I'm going to do it today and I'm going to do it tomorrow and I'm even going to do it the day after that until I'm done. I'm going to finish the mission. Go and tell that nobody that he's in the presence of a somebody who can get the job done." But then Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I'm just going to walk on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it can't be that a prophet should perish anywhere but Jerusalem." I just want you to stop for a minute and notice something that was in both of those verses I just read to you. In this 32nd verse, look at what it says. "I'll perform cures and healings today, tomorrow, and the third day." And then in this 33rd verse, Jesus says it this way. "I'll go my way today and tomorrow and the day after that." I just want you to think for a minute. Why would Luke want us to know that 3 days is what he used for his literary picture of Jesus' mission? I also want you to notice back in that 32nd verse that at the tail end of this verse, Luke uses these words, says Jesus said that he would use those days, today, tomorrow, and the third day, to finish his course, to reach mission accomplished. I just want you to pay attention to that. You see, in Luke's economy, the 32nd and the 33rd verses deal with the death of Jesus, don't they? And It means, or it marks, the completion of what Jesus came to do. Let's continue. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to it. How often I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, just so you know, this last two verses, 34 and 35, they're very obviously referencing Palm Sunday, when Jesus would go into Jerusalem and they would sing his praises and all that. And it's actually based upon a prophecy in Psalm 118 where it says that that is what they would sing. But that brings me down to the mission. Let's talk about the missions of the people involved in this story today. I want to begin by talking about the mission of Herod. And just to set that up, over in Luke 9, verses 7 to 9, Herod the Tetrarch heard all that was happening, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead. Now, just to refresh your memory, he had had John the Baptist's head taken off, right? He had killed John the Baptist. But there's somebody out there now who's healing people and doing all these miraculous things, and Herod's listening, and he's beginning to think, gee, could it be possible that that prophet John the Baptist has come back to life? Could it be that maybe Elijah has made his appearing that we've been waiting for? Or maybe Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of those Old Testament prophets, is they've risen. And Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear these things? And he sought to see him. He said, I've got to see this. So let's talk about the mission of Herod. He's wondering if John the Baptist is back to life, and it's intriguing to him if that's a possibility. He says that he thinks he would like to see Jesus or meet Jesus, and he even says he'd like to see Jesus perform a miracle in his presence. But suddenly, at this point in the story, it seems that Herod's heart has gotten hardened, doesn't it? Because he wants to kill Jesus. He wants to knock him out of the picture. He wants to kill, if you would, the opposition. He's already killed John the Baptist. So when we talk about what's Herod's mission, it really is just simply to obliterate the enemy. It's to take care of the opposition. And I would just stop here for a minute and say to you, in the story of Jesus' passion, you know, Herod plays that part of sending Jesus back to Pilate. And what he's trying to do there is not just to send him back to Pilate. He wants to make inroads with Pilate. He wants to make inroads with that community. But he also wants to satisfy what he knows what's going to happen. The Jews are going to see that Jesus gets killed. Meanwhile, what's his mission? His mission is to oppose his enemy. You got to ask yourself this. I think you got to ask yourself this question. Jesus is God's son. He's God come in the flesh. He's all good. Everything's right about him. How could that possibly be his opposition? Let me just remind you what the Bible says. Satan goes to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. If you are living the Christian life and you have no opposition, you aren't living the Christian life. Jesus was the pinnacle of that. He is not just the example. He is the living example of God. He is God come in the flesh. And Herod has made that his mission. Destroy all that is good, all that is right, all that is God. But on the other hand, Jesus has a mission as well. And with regards to Jesus' mission, let me just tell you these things. He had nothing to worry about. He had no fear. He was working not by Herod's calendar or by Herod's plan. He was working by his father's calendar. And he's working by his father's plan. You remember how many times Jesus said something like this, my hour has not yet come. It's not time to put the plan fully into place. Think about how many times Jesus said this. And he knew that to complete the plan, to finish the mission, was to basically face his passion, receive his punishment, our punishment, and to die. If you were to go look at Peter, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, it says this: it was decreed from the beginning of time that Jesus would be crucified in Jerusalem. From the beginning of time. All the way back before God even said, let there be. And it was. Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world by his Father, because he was his Father. He was in his Father. He was with his Father. And he's alive at the time he's alive in this story, because that was the fulfillment of God's will. You know, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached his first sermon. And if you were to look at Acts 2:23, here's one of the lines in his sermon. Herod could do nothing to stop God's plans or Jesus' ministry. Any effort to do so would only fulfill the will of God. He said, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Think about that for a minute. The definite plan and foreknowledge of God is what got Jesus on the cross. He was here on a mission. He would later say in Acts chapter 3 a whole bunch about the crucifixion of Jesus. And he would say this. He would say this at the very end of it. You acted in ignorance, as did your rulers, but God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that his Christ would suffer, and thus it would be fulfilled. Jesus' death and burial was his mission. He was on his own timetable, not on Herod's. He was about the work that God had given him to do. And Herod, you might want to kill me, but I'm going to be here today, and I'm going to be here tomorrow, and I'm going to be here the day after that. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what God sent me to do until the time is full, when the time has come. Do you realize that the passage we started in this morning, Luke 13:31 to 35, was really a dire passage for Jerusalem? Let me explain that to you. Listen again to what Jesus said. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that killed the prophets and stones the ones that have been sent to it. How often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers together her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Your house is now forsaken. And I tell you, you won't see me until the day that you say, blessed is he who comes in the day of the Lord. This is a dire passage because Israel had completely rejected God. Over and over again through the prophets, God speaks and speaks and speaks. And over again, they threw them into pits. They pitched them to the side. They ignored them. They did anything but listen to what God was saying. If you follow through on Israel, you find that Israel has a future, and Israel is in the center of God's will at some point, but it's not right now. There's something you might have missed in the passage today. I kind of referenced it a minute ago. I'm going to go back and talk to you about it for a minute. Luke 13:32 and 33. Go and tell that fox, I cast out demons. I perform cures. Today, tomorrow, and the third day, I will finish my course. Nevertheless, I'll go my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Both of those verses, I pointed out to you a minute ago, both of those verses reference Jesus' death in 3 days. Both of those verses put the storyline together of what is going to happen after Jesus is crucified. But it hasn't happened yet. Today and tomorrow, it's the present opportunity that God has placed before Jesus. Today and tomorrow. There's always the third day with Jesus. And you know that's how it plays out in our life. There's today and tomorrow for us. There's the present opportunity, but there's also the third day when Shazam, something you couldn't see coming around the corner, arrives on the scene. For Jesus, it was a resurrection. And I believe there's a possibility that it's there for us as well. While I was off, in fact, on last Friday, the conference requires, the East Ohio Conference, requires retiring pastors to go to a seminar about retiring. It's funny, I had Easton in the back of the car yesterday, and he says, Papa, he says, if Nana's retired and you're retiring, where's the money going to come from? Well, that's what the seminar was about yesterday, you know? And I said, Easton, in high school, Grandma worked at Burger King. And I know a guy at Walmart that can probably get me in. When we went to that seminar, they asked the question, which they always ask at these things, would you go around the room and everybody give us your name and what your plans are in retirement, right? That's a typical question they would ask. And we went around the room, and we gave our names, and we said what we planned to do. And there were great answers. There were a lot of similar answers, because most of us are buying a house, and most of us are going to have to do some repairs or whatnot, this type of a thing. Everybody wants to say they're going to travel. Everybody wants to do, I mean, I didn't say it, but I can guarantee you that Goldwing's going to get a workout. But there was one common theme with everybody there. We're going to continue to serve somewhere. I noticed that. I mean, there's actually a guy retiring this year who bought a piece of ground years ago down on the border in Texas, and he's setting up a mission for his retirement to work with immigrants. There's a guy there who's in a church, and he's going to retire and continue in that church in retirement. Everybody there, they were saying our mission's not over. So Westbrook Park, I want to talk to you about that today, but not with regards to me, with regards to you. Do you realize that God's given you marching orders? You ever ask yourself, why am I here? You're here for purpose. You're here for reason. God's given you marching orders. You're here with purpose right now. Just be sure that you understand you haven't finished the mission. The accomplishment is not done yet. You know the preschool that you probably know very little about? It's mostly a lot of people from the community that are single mothers, kids that I'm going to bet some of them are hungry more often than not. That's because Eric eats Evie's sandwiches. Cher Canton. There's plenty of people around here with homelessness and social struggle. They will continue to be here after we leave today. And your mission will continue. Celebrate recovery. There will always be hurts and hang-ups. They will continue, and so will your mission. Night to Shine. There will always be a need to celebrate with those who need celebrated and need something to celebrate. They will continue, and so will your mission. Elevate Life will always be there to have a need to help people to take a step up and out of their situation. And while you may throw a lifeline to them while they're in that hole and pull a few of them out, that hole's still there, and everybody else may have the chance to fall into it. They will continue, and so will your mission. And even though you can't see it when you look in their eyes, there will be hungry people for the food pantry and children you don't know who, if they will have enough to eat through this month or even through this day. You can't afford to question them or ask them to go on a witness stand to find out. You just got to do what Jesus would do, because they will continue, and so will your mission. There will still be sermons to be preached, Bible studies to be had, prayers to be made. The need will continue, and so will your mission. You know, Jesus said something that I've pointed out across my ministry, and I want you to remember today. Jesus said, you will always have the poor with me, but you will not always have me. You know what Jesus was saying? Church, you will always have a mission field. So Jesus says to Herod, go tell that insignificant fox, I'm still casting out demons, and I'm still performing cures, and I'm going to do it today, and I'm going to do it tomorrow, and I'm going to do it the third day until I finish my course. I'll go on my way today, tomorrow, and the day after that. And I think he's saying to you today, church, your mission doesn't end until every mouth is fed, every homeless person is clothed, every hang up and hurt is resolved, and every child is loved, and every problem is solved, and every person you encounter has a relationship with Jesus. And there's something else I want to tell you. That won't happen until Jesus comes back. That's why we pray every week, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It can come. And it's our job to do the best we can with that until he does. Our mission's today and tomorrow. But it's also the day after tomorrow, that third day. For Jesus, that third day didn't involve the cross, did it? It involved the resurrection. It involved the conquering of death. For you, your third day will be conquering sin and all of its requisite results. And it can only happen when our prayer's answered on earth as it is in heaven. Little boy's walking on the seashore and he's picking up starfish and throwing them in the sea. You may have heard this story before. And somebody comes along and says, why are you throwing those starfish? There's too many of them. You're not going to make any difference. And the little boy says it made a difference to that one. And he threw another one. Westbrook Park, I give you a commendation. You've done a good job for the last 12 years. In 3 months or so, as dysfunctional or functional as you and I are, we're going to part ways. But we're not going to stop working. Your mission isn't done. My bottom line today, church, is this. You've not accomplished your mission. The poor you always have with you. What God's saying is, get to work. Amen. I believe at this time, we're not going to sing. I believe I'm going to have Mark Lotzis come up to make an announcement to you.
Hear me? Okay. Well, first off, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been praying for Joel, praying for Westbrook, and praying for whoever our new pastor would be. Debbie, thank you for the heart stones that you handed out to everybody. Got mine right here in my hand. And just thank you for that reminder on that. Just got the notification Well, I guess I'll read the official thing first so I don't screw it up. Bishop Hee-Soo Jung, along with the cabinet and the PPR committee, have consulted to discern the pastor who will continue your mission and ministry at Westbrook Park UMC. In the ministry of the United Methodist Church, the bishop appoints pastors to serve in our churches for missional reasons. Bishop Jung sends pastors to churches or charges where their gifts might be best used for the mission and ministry of the congregation as well for the church at large. It is expected that Bishop Hee Soo Jung will appoint Reverend Scott Walsh to the pastor of Westbrook Park, effective July 1st, 2025. Copies of the introductory brochure are available, and I will be able to hand those out as we leave today for anybody who is interested in having any. So it's always tough for situations. For me, this is the first time I've been part of a church where we have a situation like that, and I've been here all of Joel's 12 years, so we all know how lucky we are to have him here, and we need to keep continuing to pray for him and Janice as well as our church. But we also need to remember to pray for Scott, his wife Jan, and their churches. So his wife is a pastor of a church also. So not only will we be going through a transition, but there's two other churches, because of this change, will be going through a major transition also. So it's very important that we pray for everybody involved. And just want to tell Joel, thank you for everything. Obviously, we got plenty more time left with you, but just want to say thank you for everything that you have done, do, and will continue to do for us. And we just pray for you and Janice, and we're so thankful for you. Thank you, everybody.
Am I back? Yeah, I'm on. It's probably not appropriate, but when have I been appropriate? I want to tell you a few things, okay? Mark has whatever he called that, the brochure, the introductory brochure for you to get. I encourage you to grab one. I don't need the introductory brochure. I have known Scott Walsh since the early 90s. When I was doing my doctoral work at Ashland Theological Seminary, he was doing his master's work. Scott and I have worked together on a number of things. Before I entered ministry, I knew his wife Jan's mom and dad, and they were semi-mentors to me in a few ways. Scott comes to you from my opinion, highly recommended. He has gifts and graces that I don't have, and he has gifts and graces that you need. He is accomplished in several areas, not the least of which is a dynamic musical ability. He and his wife worked that together. And I have thought about this since I was called and told who was coming, that you folks are blessed. And you are getting, if I looked at the East Howe Conference, every pastor I know, and this is the truth as I know it right now, I cannot think of a better pastor to come to this church. They have a heart for missions. They will plug right into what you're doing. And, you know, I don't want to jinx that by telling you these things, but I want you to know, you're getting a good man, and you are getting a great couple, and they will be able to do things that Joel Adkins could never do, and I'm confident of that. So God bless you as you go. I'll be praying for you. Let's pray, and we'll walk out of here together today, okay? Be sure you get that brochure from Mark. Father, we thank you today for how good and faithful you are. As we do wind up probably about 12 more Sundays together, Lord, we pray that you would prepare Scott and Jan as they are to come. Put into their hearts a desire to come and to serve the church at Westbrook Park the way that they've served in other places. We thank you for the ministries he's had. We thank you for the mission that he brings to us. Lord, we thank you for the mission that he brings to this congregation and the mission that this congregation brings to this community. Lord, we pray that as they come, that this congregation, the folks that are mighty in this place, even though our numbers are not large, would plug in, would encourage each other as well as their new pastors, and help them, Lord, to be about the work until the mission is accomplished. We love you. We praise you today. Send us forth from here in the love of Christ, we ask. Amen. God bless you, church. Be sure you see Mark before you're out of here.